I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Patrick Briggs. He's director of Macbeth, which opens this Thursday night at the Santa Fe Playhouse. And Kelly Kiernan as Lady Macbeth and Matt Sanford as Macbeth. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So how did you decide on Macbeth among all the plays that you could do?
Well, it's always been one of my favorites. I think that the language of Macbeth is very accessible. It's not too convoluted and it's not too complicated, so it's much more easy to understand in a play situation. It's just always been one of my favorites also. And it's just a really good story, you know?
Yeah.
Dynamic, it's got everything, you know?
I was thinking about it in the context of, like, House of Cards and other things that are part of contemporary culture that are about crazy ambition.
It is. It's crazy ambition. And the crazy ambition is the same as it is now as it was 400 years ago, you know, so it's still very applicable. And the consequences of those decisions that you make to gain that status or that power.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to think about which of those themes are really relevant today and which seem dated. I mean, ambition as not going anywhere, and
greed.
Ruthlessness and lying and greed and all those things, and wives behind the scenes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then this other stuff, like all those titles of, are you a hereditary noble or are you a freeman who gets elevated, and how important your title is.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
does seem like, you know, I got to do some homework to even figure out what they're talking about.
Well, and Macbeth raises through the ranks pretty quickly there, because
very
in the
perfect.
Beginning of the play he is Glamis and then Thane of Cawdor.
Right.
And then, you know, the king
can't
is thrown
it.
Out there, and it seems very important for Lady Macbeth to propel that forward for her own reasons as well. So for sure, it sealed all of their positions if the men raised three ranks.
Mm-hmm. Or so it seems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, because getting there wasn't as good as they thought,
yeah,
obviously.
There's a price for everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So talk about playing Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. I mean, with any role that you play as an actor, on the one hand, there's so much technique and craft, particularly when doing Shakespeare, but then you also have to find who these people are somehow inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it does definitely have to, any role that, especially when you're dealing with heightened language, there has to be something that's personal and that you create from your own emotional landscape in order to make that real, or else you do just become caricatures of
right.
the role. And when you're dealing with well-known roles like this, there's all this expectation of what people have seen. So I think making it your own is definitely part of the process.
Certainly, certainly. And it's always risky. You know, you're talking about the heightened language,
mm-hmm.
But it's a play that's full of heightened emotion as well, and so
yeah.
you're always walking that tightrope line between, you know, what is authentic, what is an authentic emotional experience versus, you know, what is this sort of preconceived notion of what kind of emotional experience you should be having as an actor, or what kind of emotional experience you're trying to create for the audience. So it is a tightrope walk, but
mm-hmm.
I think that's been one of the great things about working within this production, is that everyone has been very supportive of mm-hmm. of experimenting with the different dynamics of those landscapes.
Mm-hmm. And it is the kind of thing, too, where I was able to find a lot of people, like when I first said I'm going to be playing Lady Macbeth, were like, well, am I going to like her? And, you know, it's like, as I got into it, it's like, well, she's not a likable woman.
No.
And if you, you know, there does seem to be that thing going on lately where, you know, they want to make her likable. And
what do you mean?
Well, when Kenneth Branagh did his version of Macbeth just recently this summer, I saw an interview, and I can't think of the woman right off the top of my head who played Lady Macbeth, but she was in an interview with somebody on PBS, and they insisted that, you know, they were just good people who got, you know, into a bad situation. And I guess I don't see that. I see it as very preconceived. I see it as her ambition becoming the be-all and end-all of what she is goading Macbeth to do. And she has some stuff that she says that is not, she's constantly challenging his manhood. You know, are you a man? Mm. When you durst do it, then you are a man. And the fact that she says she would kill her kid. If she had sworn to do the deed, she'd throw her baby and dash its brains out. That's pretty unlikable. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if that qualifies as a good person in a bad situation, there's no such thing as a bad person.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really interesting to, I mean, I did find stuff inside of me that was able to bring that out. And it was really, it's really fascinating to play something that you can't do in everyday life. So I've just had a really good time exploring it.
What is that like? I mean, is it cathartic to play somebody who does really horrible things?
I think definitely on some level that was what attracted me to the role and wanting to do it, was that there's something in this process that has been cathartic for me. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I played Lady M in my undergrad, and I've played the witches on tours and things like that, but I just kept wanting to come back to this particular role. And there's like this stigma with Macbeth. Nobody ever seems to want to do it. The tragedies in general, but it's like, you know, you mention Macbeth, they're like, oh, no, no, no. We don't do Maggers.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What about you? I mean, did you have to dig deep to be this character? I mean, tell us, we don't even have a plot yet. For those of you out in Radioland who have not seen Macbeth, give us the plot.
Give us the plot. All right. Well, Macbeth is a soldier of King Duncan, right? And he has won the war. He and Banquo have, between the two of them, saved the day. They are the heroes of the day. So King Duncan elevates him in status. And in return, as a favor, Macbeth kills Duncan because of his ambition to be king.
You're missing the key, the witches.
Well, yes, the witches come in, and they prophesize that Macbeth will be king, that he will rise very quickly, and he will be king, and that Banquo will be the father of kings, but not king himself. So Macbeth facilitates that prophecy and goes ahead and kills the king, and then it's basically the consequences of that decision. You know, they do become king and queen, but to maintain that, they have to continue in this murderous spree. They become not where they're making choices or good choices. They're more reacting to the situation as it comes at them.
Right, resulting in ever greater bloodbath.
Ever greater bloodbath and ever greater misery for the Macbeths.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that said, describe to us the process of becoming the actor who can play that pretty nasty guy who just wasn't satisfied to be a hero with elevated status.
Mm-hmm. I'd been talking last week in an interview, similar question. It's really remarkable to me because for me, Macbeth is a completely, what's the word?
Dichotomy.
Yes, that's exactly the word. He's a dichotomy of man. You know, he's at equal times, equal parts good and evil. I think that he's constantly in flux, and he's always being torn back and forth between those two extremes. And so to find that, it's funny because, you know, so many of the roles that I've played in the past have been these sort of anti-heroes or villains or dark characters. I don't know if I'm just getting typecast for that in Santa Fe, but this is certainly the, if you want to say, darkest role I've ever tackled, and to find those things within yourself, I think if you're honest with yourself as an actor, you just have to accept that those parts of all of us exist.
Right.
You know, so many people shy away from the darker side of life, and you know, refuse to admit that perhaps at times in their lives they've had thoughts where they're like, "Man, I wish that guy got hit by a car," right. You know, or something like that. And so long as you can be honest with yourself as an actor, and be open with yourself about those parts, mm-hmm. it's at least a little easier to tap into playing those deeds and playing those emotions when you just accept that it's part of being a human being.
And that could be part of that cathartic thing you were talking about. It's
yeah.
finally having license to act that out in a
right.
safe environment, but you know, you don't have to be that. But
yeah,
it is.
There's no real consequences for any parties involved, thank goodness.
Right.
But, thank goodness.
But,
right. You didn't actually stab somebody and then rub blood all over the sleeping guys to make it seem like they did it.
Exactly.
Right.
And not yet, anyway. The show isn't over.
Good point. Patrick Briggs has some plans. Mm-hmm. The witches are such an interesting part of it because, mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to the kind of prophecy that you have in Greek tragedy, mm-hmm. where no matter how you try to avoid your fate, and of course, I mean, here it's the opposite. Nobody's trying to avoid their fate. They're trying to fulfill their fate. But the witches represent, well, what do they represent?
They kind of represent ever-present evil and opportunities. You know, they come, they're on the heath, they present Macbeth with this opportunity, with this prophecy. This could happen. The choice is his, you know. He can choose not to, and he debates that with the audience, you know, as the character of Macbeth. He debates whether he's going to actually do it or not, and what the consequences are if he actually does do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just kind of, by making that choice to kill the king, he's opening the door for this ever-present evil that's all around us all the time to come in. Once they're in, then he's the victim of that decision and their game.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the witches that I think a lot of audiences who might not be as familiar with the story forget is that the witches themselves never do anything mm-hmm. evil. I think in popular modern culture we have this idea of the witches of Macbeth being these conniving, manipulative forces that
yes.
push the hands of the characters, but they never do.
They present
like you say, the prophecy, and they say, "This is what we see,"
mm-hmm.
and then it's up to the humans, with all of our fallibilities and all of our doubts and fears, to either act or not act, and that's where, you know, those evil deeds manifest.
That's right. They hand them the apple, as
exactly.
it were.
Right. Exactly.
Well, and also, it does give rise to thinking about what is the nature of fate. If Macbeth and Mrs. Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, had hung out and done what they were going to do, maybe Duncan would have had a heart attack 7 days later.
Well, exactly
or
right.
2 years later, and they could have had a perfectly happy, real king future.
And don't you say, Macbeth actually says, if chance will have me king.
Yes, if chance will have me king, then chance may crown me.
Right. He says, just in that speech, well, maybe I don't have to do this. The thought does cross his mind.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Playhouse production of Macbeth that opens this weekend, well, actually this Thursday at the Santa Fe Playhouse. Now, have you, Matt, done Shakespeare before?
This will be the first time that I have ever performed Shakespeare out loud in front of an audience with the lights on.
It makes it sound like
very
things have happened behind closed doors with the lights off.
Doesn't it?
I've... worked in the past with a Shakespeare reading group, which is a phenomenal group. I had been cast in productions in the past that for various reasons didn't come to fruition. I suppose the closest thing to acting Shakespeare that I have done in front of a paying audience was a production of Ophelia through theater work, and that was like 10 or 11 years ago, which was an adaptation of Hamlet, but told from Ophelia's perspective, with Ophelia as the main character. And it was all written in meter by a young aspiring playwright. I forget her name, honestly. But that was the first time I performed any kind of Shakespearean verse.
Right. So what's that been like for you?
It's certainly been a challenge. There's so much that goes into performing Shakespeare other than just the emotional content. You know, most of my experience is very modern, very emotionally engaging work. But Shakespeare is absolutely that. But on top of that, you have to not only be familiar with the meter of the verse, but you have to understand the language. You know, a lot of the words, a lot of the references that are made throughout the Shakespearean canon are so antiquated in our language that you really have to do your homework to know what you're saying, to have the literal definitions of what you're saying, to be able to then inform it with the emotional language that tells the story.
There's always this question also of whether people are going to speak with an English accent or not. What do you think of that as a director?
I hate it.
What do you hate?
Speaking with an accent. You know, if you're not born with it, don't use it. You know, we have one Irish actor in our cast, and he does have an accent, and he's the only one who has an accent. It just doesn't work for me.
Well, American actors doing Shakespeare in English accents is very, very scary.
Goofy.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, if you go back and you listen to John Barton, who's a Shakespeare expert and a linguist, our language now is closer to what Shakespeare spoke than the English language is now, the actual English accent.
Well,
how do we know that? Oh, the lost tape recordings of Shakespeare?
Exactly, yes.
It was actually reel to reel back then.
That's right.
You know what, well, John Barton's done extensive research on, you know, following the immigrants that came over from Stratford, came over from that part of England that Shakespeare came from, and has followed them and traced their linguistic history and their wordplay that they do today. And it's more similar than the...
It's the colloquialisms
exactly.
The accent, in particular to Stratford, Connecticut, which is, that's what prompted John Barton when we were working in Stratford, which is my hometown, and we were reopening the Stratford Festival Theater there. John Barton came to Stratford because he believed it was settled in 1610, and the certain group of people that came to that area supposedly had that old English accent. So he thinks that accent of that northeast region in particular, which is kind of funny, is closer to the original Shakespeare's English.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So this is also, among other things, a ghost story.
And only you,
Macbeth, can see the ghost.
Yes. It's been a lot of fun to play with that. If audiences aren't familiar, there's several great scenes where Macbeth bears witness to the man that he's killed, his best friend Banquo, as well as later on various apparitions that appear to him to offer him more prophecy. And it's a lot of fun to play seeing things that aren't there, because it allows everyone else to sort of inform with their own imaginations what that is, what that looks like, what that suspense and horror and terror manifests for each individual on a personal level. It's very fun to play with.
And then meanwhile, Lady Macbeth is kind of an enabler in the background saying, oh no, this is just like a medical condition that he has.
It's going to be
pay
fine.
Pay no attention. Yeah, it's all going to be fine.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
But, you know, Macbeth, or Lady Macbeth, has her ghosts are psychological, because when she comes out in the sleepwalking scene, each little kind of section of dialogue that she has is she's reliving the nightmare of the blood on her hands. The Thane of Fife had a wife. Where is she now? Hell is murky. She's seeing into the... Those are her ghosts manifesting themselves in her brain. And so while she's able to keep it together in reality and constantly bolster Macbeth, she is having her own psychological breakdown, obviously, because it's a big... It's
yeah, killing people leaves scars.
We'll do that to you. Yeah.
So, Patrick Briggs, what have been some of the fun and some of the challenges of directing this production?
Well, any Shakespeare's, it's always a challenge, you know, and Macbeth comes with its own series of
technical
challenges that have had to be overcome. But, you know, it's really, I've been very, very lucky. Our cast is superb, and I was very lucky to have Dr. Robin Williams as my dramaturg, who met with all the cast during February prior to rehearsal and informed them on the meaning of their words, the meaning of the history behind what they were saying. So they came to rehearsal ready to hit the ground running. They had their lines memorized. They knew exactly what they were saying. And it's just been a wonderful build since then. You know, we've got some younger actors in our cast. We have three students from New Mexico School of the Arts.
Very good actors.
Very good actors. They're doing very good work over there and producing some fine little actors. One of them, actually, Anthony Senna, has just been accepted to Juilliard, and we'll be heading off to Juilliard after this.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. But younger actors, I think, bringing them up to, you know, that level of dealing with heightened text is definitely a challenge, but they rose to the occasion.
Yes, and I'm very lucky to have Matt and Kelly and some other very experienced actors that help bring that level up, you know, to the younger folks can see where they need to go.
I think it gave them permission to go there. To reach mm-hmm. those heights.
Yeah. Macbeth opens this Thursday, the 2nd of April, at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It runs for 3 weekends, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30, Sundays at 2. The last day is Sunday, the 19th of April. Patrick Briggs, director, Matt Sanford, Macbeth, Kelly Kiernan, Lady Macbeth, thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's been a pleasure.
For more information, the website is santafeplayhouse.org.